Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Do presidential elections influence the stock market? What does history tell us? Let's go in-depth with Pat Moriarty with Main Street Investments at the Marion County Bank, Pella. So, Pat, it seems like we're in a continuous election cycle here in Iowa, doesn't it?
It does. I know we've all been bombarded, and a lot of us are getting a little tired of all the rhetoric that we hear as far as the media, but that's just the normal process of it. But it has been interesting. As you know, I always claim I'm not an economist, but I'm a financial advisor. So I sit down with individuals every day, helping them make the right long-term decisions. But the part that's, you know, become obvious whenever this election cycle comes up, that people start getting nervous. You know, they see the headlines, they hear the people on the street about do this, what happens if so-and-so gets elected, what and that. And I respect history, and I look back at the history cycle of elections, and it's interesting. If you look at a typical four-year term, and you look at the last 20 of the first year of a term of a president, you say, well, what's happened? In 11 of those 20 times, the market was up. The other time was down. So really, if you look at, you know, has anything ever really happened drastically in the first year of a term? Not really, 50-50. The good news is, but on the average, the market's been up 6.8%. So I guess my point is, just because we have an election coming up doesn't mean we should pull all of our money off to the side and say, oh, let's wait and see what happens. You would miss it. Case in point today, the market, looking at where we are today, we're up over 12% in the S&P 500. That's your 500 largest companies. Up 12.6% since the beginning of the year. And this is a year where nobody knew what was going to happen. So if they get their September 30th statements, they're going to be relatively pleased if they hung in the market. If you were a market timer and said, you know what, I'm going to pull my money back and forth, and if you missed three of those best days, your return would only be 8%. You would have missed it. So in other words, what I'm always trying to tell people is you cannot time the market. What you need to do is respect the market and realize that when you're investing in the stock market with either your 401k, your IRA, and all that, you're investing in American enterprise, you're investing in the companies, you're investing in what you feel is going to provide a livelihood over the long term. And that's the whole point. Everything is over the long term. So even though, yes, we have an election, even though, yes, we have some tax laws that are being debated upon, life still does move on in that cycle.
So you mean all those ads predicting dire consequences if the opposition is elected, that America's going down the tubes? They're not true.
They're not true. I mean, from history has shown us. And the other thing that I've told people, and I said, this is interesting. You know, we elect a president, and we have two choices. That's one president. There's over 535 members of Congress who actually make the laws. And so you have to look at of everything. And once again, if you look at all, you know, whether or not we have a Republican run or a Democrat, it still is inconclusive. I mean, people have gone back and tried to study and tried to predict and tried to outguess. There is no outguessing. It's just the fact that the good thing about Americans, and Winston Churchill once said this quote, is that Americans, if you give them enough time, they eventually do it right after making all the other mistakes. In other words, we'll eventually pull this all together and we'll get things figured out. Now, there are a couple of things in the headline that are true, and this is happening, and it seems like it's a pattern that happens off and off. There are some tax laws that are changing they're going to expire at the end of the year. In fact, Chairman Bernanke came up with this great comment, which, of course, scares everybody more. It says the fiscal cliff. In other words, if nothing happens, everything's going to fall off a cliff. And what he means by that is there are some tax laws that could change. The estate tax laws could go way back down, as far as more states could be vulnerable to an estate tax. The capital gains tax rate could go back up. As, of course, as I tell people, it's still not going to be as high as it was a number of years ago. tax rates could go back up. There's going to be a payroll tax could go away. But lots of times, once again, we still have Congress to work on these tax laws. And the assumption is for most advisors is a lot of these will be changed. In other words, they'll be carried on. And the Congress will get together and say, yes, we do need to keep these tax laws in force. They'll approve extending them as they've done in the past and give us a chance to meet, you know, early next year and say, okay, which ones can we work with? Because we do know we do need to reduce the debt. I mean, that's a given. But we also know when you start reducing too much, it starts hurting everybody's pocketbooks. There's a give and take with everything. And so it's, as we always say, we do want Congress to try to be fiscally responsible. But the question is, who do they want to be responsible to? I mean, it always affects somebody.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pat Moriarty with the Marion County Bank.
So we have to have faith in Congress, too, is what you're saying.
Right. And so there's, you know, so it's not only important that we, of course, elect the right president of who we feel, but we also have to, of course, look at Congress and who we feel is going to best represent the American citizens in the laws and such.
And that we think that they have our best interests at heart?
We would hope they would. I mean, and I think for the most part, most people are genuinely interested. But as, of course, I've always teased about, is we always, of course, wish they do look at the big picture. But it's tough out there because there's so many different factors. I mean, you know, when you only have so much money going around, it's when you make that budget, you have to decide, okay, what are we going to cut? What are we going to spend? I mean, it does affect everybody. So there is always this give and take because there are a lot of things that are happening underneath it. People are living longer, so that's one reason why health care costs have gone up. U.S. companies are not providing as much in pensions. Years ago, everybody went to the 401k, and so we have to start realizing, as an investor, we need to do more on our own in that respect. One of the laws that might be changing or being modified is the capital gains process, and people think that capital gains tax might go up. Well, we have to realize, yes, that could happen maybe a little bit. I mean, but already it's, in my opinion, it's pretty low, very acceptable. Plus, a lot of our investments are inside of a IRA account or a Roth IRA account where the whole capital gains tax doesn't apply anyway over the long term.
So what it takes is a sense of history, but then also smart management.
Right. And so we always try to have, when we advise individuals, and every situation is different. Every customer is different. But we always try to diversify. We always try to, of course, keep some money available for short-term emergencies. And we always look at the fact that we are living longer, so we need to plan some long-term investments. We need to look at what type of equity mutual funds are the right in places to be. For a lot of our retirees, we need to be looking at, okay, what can help provide us income in today's world of low interest rates? Are there some dividend-paying stocks that might be appropriate? Are there some bonds or corporate notes or tax-free bonds that would be appropriate? But every situation is different, but we like to have buckets of money. In other words, we have one bucket for emergency, one bucket for long-term, one bucket for our health care needs. And, you know, the key is to diversify and not put all our eggs in one basket and then let them stay the course over the long term with adjustments. But, you know, and that goes back to the point, always seek out qualified financial advice, you know, as to help you invest your funds, as trying to find the best place for you.
Now, has it become easier as the stock market has recovered from its lows in 2007, 2008? Has it become easier to tell this long-term story? Because things were pretty dire back
right
then.
In March of 2009, when the market was down considerably, it was very tough to review anybody's account statements because it was this Armageddon where things were just looking terrible. We were being bombarded with headlines. Ironically, as I told people, I pull out this little postcard and I can show them the same headlines from the 1970s. In other words, once again, history has repeated itself. And I can also show them the last 16 recessions where the market has, on the average, been down similar to this. And once again, we tend to forget about history. And we can look at the fact in those last 16 recessions, the market has always gone up over that five-year period. Has it gone up in a straight line? No. But over time, it has gained back. And so it definitely has been easier lately to review account statements. And it's all, and a lot of the account statements now are becoming more cognizant of that too, where they're trying to show people what their long-term results are. So many people are focused on what did I do from last quarter to this quarter. And a lot of the new account statements are coming out and saying, okay, we're going to show you what you've done since 2003. So you can get more of a longer-term perspective saying, okay, yes, even though my account might have gone down just a little bit over the last few months, if I look at where I started and looked at where I ended, I'm considerably up. Here's another dollar example for you. This was sort of an interesting one. We talk about the first year of a presidential election. And we said, you know what? I don't know what Congress is going to do. They scare me. I'm just going to pull my money out. So here's an example. Somebody who had put in $100 back in 1925, and then during the first year of each presidential election, says, you know what? I'm going to move it to cash and just let it sit there. Well, that $100 back in 1925, if he had invested in the S&P 500 largest companies, would be worth $94,000 today. That's pretty nice, $100 to 94. Guess what? If he had stayed fully invested, pretty much invested in the market, ignored everything, turned off the scaremongers and everything else who are trying to scare you out of the market, your investment today would be worth over $304,000. So in other words, I sometimes use the word ignorance is bliss, where instead of being caught up in what, hey, I should move today and do change it over to something tomorrow, if you just let things ride their normal course, you'll come out just fine.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Pat Moriarty with the Marion County Bank.
Okay, so let's take this back the other direction then, too, in that if you don't believe that who is elected president plays that great of a role in terms of the market, mm-hmm. then when the market recovers, as it has in the past few years, the president doesn't get any of that credit either for its recovery? If you don't think there's an impact, is there any...
There is, from my opinion, once again, I'm not a politician, all that, there is some credit from the president because you're the leader. And so you're looking at both cases as far as, you know, who can you believe in as far as leading you right down that path. But then you're also wanting to hear that same optimism from the congressional leaders and from everybody as far as having the faith, you know, that everything is going to be fine. You know, just like the fact looking at, you know, housing starts are up today, the most businesses are recovering. But you're right, we still need that conviction that that's going to continue so that we can get back companies back to investing in more infrastructure, going back to hiring more individuals, going back to getting the right education so that our workers today can work in the environments that are being presented to them, you know, as far as going out and getting jobs. So there is a little bit of that as far as who do you think do you want to believe in?
You said something earlier about the market will recover and having faith in the markets and history is really important. But then I started thinking about what is the markets? And the marketers are people.
Right.
And so...
And the markets are different companies. I mean, and it's... And I've used this, I've commented on this, and people give me a hard time, but when you're investing in the market, you're investing in American enterprise. You're investing in companies. You're investing in that these companies are going to do the right thing. They're going to go out and hire individuals. You're looking at companies like General Electric, Microsoft, Apple, and that they're going to provide a good environment for their individuals. Plus, if you look at a company like Alliant Energy, every month we send off our utility bill to pay for the gas. And you can say, you know what, I think they have a good business model. I like to invest in that, and I want to share in that growth. And also, those companies, as they get more grown and established, they earn profits, and they share those profits to us in the form of dividends. So you're right. It's not some magic Las Vegas wheel where you're just kind of playing a numbers game or a Powerball thing. You're investing in the economy, in the future economy of what you feel is going to be are going to be good companies. And the good thing is that we have some very qualified mutual fund managers who go out there and study these companies of who they feel are going to be the right companies to invest in, and then you get to share in that growth.
And so what we need are then education, we need initiative, we need hard work by our companies, we need the infrastructure, and then you just have to think that most of those companies, on average, are going to do well. And that they will strive for success, and that by you buying into them, you're buying into the American dream and the success of those companies.
Exactly. As far as being able to share, you know, case in point, years ago, people talk about China and how much it's changed. You know, because it's mostly a communist state. Years ago, there was a story going around about how China is changing, and one of the things, of course, that they're being more open to nowadays is media, and they're starting to watch reruns of American TV shows. I know it sounds silly, but one of their biggest selling shows years ago was Dallas in reruns. We'd already seen it, but they're starting to catch on the fact that, yes, there is a reward in investing and doing better. And I think that's everybody's dream today, is saying, okay, if I want to catch part of this American dream, what can I do? I can't just sit back. It's not going to come to me. I have to invest in it myself. I have to be a part of it, either by going out and getting an education, going out and getting a job, or investing in the right companies that I feel will do that. As opposed to if I just sit back on my couch and wait for it to come to me, guess what? This is the old adage, if you're waiting at the airport for the plane to come in, it's probably at the shipyard or something like that. So, I mean, it is up to the individuals themselves to be a part of that, you know, to take responsibility for their future by investing. Sometimes we tease about what's the best way to also invest money is not to spend as much. You know, sometimes people are spending money on, you know, unusual things, and by watching their budget, you know, that yes, they can save up money for the future.
Okay, and so by investing, then you're a part of it. You're a part of the American dream and part
right.
of the American success.
Right. You are a part owner of it. You know, as far as, you know, sometimes we look at Walmart as an example. By buying Walmart stock, you're a part of that. I mean, every day you're shopping there, why not buy some stock in it and say, here, I am a part owner of a company that I'm going and shopping at every day. That's an example, and as a disclaimer, I'm not recommending Walmart stock. I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying as an example of investing in an American company and being a part of it.
So what you're telling me then is that investors have to be optimists.
Very much so. You know, they have to have the belief that over the long term that the world is going to be just fine, and that we're going to continue, and the global economy is just going to be fine. Yes, I have rose-colored glasses on, but I look back at what history has done. I look at where the world has come, how much our standard of living has changed. And I know people might say, oh, we're not living that great today. I don't know. I think we're living a lot better than they did in the 1920s. And so, yes, I'm the optimist. I'm looking for, you know, to pass that on to my children, on to my grandchildren, you know, to be a part of it. You know, invest in the future and have a great faith and optimism that, yes, things will do just fine. In spite of us sometimes.
Do you ever get a grumpy pessimist sitting in front of you?
Oh, all the time. I do have the pessimist, and we sit back and I show them the pictures. I show them the charts. But then we also have to make sure they're comfortable with their decision. And likewise, if someone says, you know, Pat, I believe in what you're saying, but I just want to be safe. You know, we have investments that are insured. We do have investments that you can have your income protected. You know, so there are different investments available. What we don't like to see are people doing 100% changes. All of a sudden, one day saying, I'm going to move it all out to one account, the next day I'm going to move it to a different account, and trying to find that next big thing. There is not a next big thing. Just like I've never been proven that market timing works. I know people like to tell me it does, but consistently, once again, over the long term, it hasn't.
And what you're telling me also is that the optimist that stays invested wins.
Right. Yep, you get, you know, the old adage is be careful what you ask for out of life because you'll get it.
So ask for prosperity and be hopeful.
Yes, very much so. Be the optimist and things will do just fine. I mean, once again, you have to have that conviction. You know, they often, one of the questions they came up years ago was, what is a successful person? And they found out the successful person wasn't any more lucky. He just had this belief that things were going to be fine. And he also knew that he expected to win most of the time. We know we're not going to do everything right. We know we're going to have some different setbacks, but it's having that belief that over the long term we'll come out just fine, put the past behind us, and look towards the future.
Thanks to Pat Moriarty for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.